Wilton football coach Ryan Hessler, and you are listening to the Coach's Corner Podcast.
Welcome to the Coach's Corner Podcast. My name's Ryan Stonebreaker. Thanks for listening. On today's episode are Durant softball coach Steve Hopkins, Wilton softball coach Courtney Dinkman, and Tipton softball coach Brooklyn Caranda. Thanks so much for listening to the Coach's Corner Podcast. Since the return of the audio program, no fewer than 450 listeners have listened in each week. That's awesome and humbling. Thanks for listening. Let's get started.
Back to the Coach's Corner Podcast. We're catching up with Durant softball coach Steve Hopkins. The Wildcats have 8 games under their belts from last week. Coach, welcome on.
Hi, Ryan. How you doing?
Good. You guys enter this week 13-2 overall, 5-0 in the conference, and still hold the top ranking in Class 2A. How are things going?
Not bad. I think the big word is inconsistent. That's kind of how I would describe last week, but anytime you can come out 7-1, you got to be happy with that.
You guys had a nice mix. If you're a Wildcat fan, I would consider this a nice mix of games. Some home, some road, mainly road, I should say. But close, you know. I mean, the North Scott tournament is sort of close, you know. You guys played at West Liberty, a team that's had some success recently. In recent years, they have a new coach this year. You guys went over to the Comets' home field and took 2 victories, 8-3 in game 1, 11-2 in game number 2. And, you know, one of the things we were talking about earlier during the week, you guys had multiple players with multi-hit games. This doubleheader, Jalen Bullard, had 3 hits in each game. Ruby Kapler, Mallory Warner, Hannah Happ had 3 hits among those 2 games. So that was a pretty good way to start the week.
Yeah, you know, as a coach, anytime you can have multiple kids with multiple hit games, you know, it's got to make you feel good. That gives you a great opportunity to put some runners on base and hopefully score some runs. And if you look at the scores at West Liberty, you know, that's kind of what those turned into, some good run totals for us, which you need against a very potent West Liberty offense with their speed and slappers and that.
It's kind of cool, too. You guys hadn't scored more than 5 runs in a few games. Was it kind of nice to, it's going to sound bad, but it's not meant to be, but kind of run up the scoreboard a little with runs? I mean, maybe that's not the word I'm looking for, but, you know, to score a bunch of runs?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of nice to kind of get off the snipe, so to speak. You know, anytime you can score a good number of runs, that takes pressure off your pitching and your defense, and it gives you a better opportunity to win, obviously.
You guys took a swing through the River Valley Conference North, 1 home and 1 away. Actually, the away game was still in the county, so Bellevue Tuesday came to town, 3-2 winners. You guys took that game and then went up to Loudoun and took a 7-0 shutout victory over the Knights. And it's kind of funny, after you guys played the Knights, North Cedar won back-to-back games, their first win streak of the season. So, I don't know, maybe you guys have a new effect on conference opponents. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. We're able to pick up a couple of wins. So, you know, in my opinion with North Cedar, you know, they're a few ball players away from being very competitive. And the kids are young and they play hard, and you know, anytime you have that formula, you always have a chance to get some wins, and I'm happy that they were able to get on the winning side.
You guys had Bellevue come in. They started the season 6-1. They were 6-2 when they faced you guys. You were kind of saying earlier that, you know, Bellevue's kind of an interesting team. Is that still fair to say?
Yeah, you know, Bellevue has improved quite a bit, you know, from over the last year or two. And, you know, we had a tough game. We had to fight like crazy to get out of there. And we had to do the suicide in the bottom of the seventh to get the win. It was one of those games, too, where our pitcher threw well. We gave up three hits. It was the errors that that created them to have the opportunity to have some runs, you know. So if we get rid of those errors and the game's not quite so close, but, you know, that's part of the game. So they have a nice ball club. Their pitcher does a great job. She throws a lot of innings, but you can't tell that she seems to be strong. So, you know, I was impressed with Bellevue.
Cameron Meyer had 12 strikeouts, important, no walks in that game. Speaks to her. You know, she has good control. It just, I don't know. I have a lot of box scores to go through each week, and it's always pleasant to see someone not giving up a lot of walks. And more than often, it's one of your two pitchers, it seems like.
Yeah, that's one thing that we stress with our pitchers. You know, as soon as we start working clear back in November, you know, we want our pitchers to be around the plate. We don't like to give anybody free bases. We want them to get up there and earn it. So I think there's been a greater emphasis on that this year, and I think our pitchers have responded well.
9 hits in the game, multi-hit games from Jada Rock, Mallory Warner, and Ruby Kapler. That takes us over to North Scott Tournament. You guys played 4 games in 2 days, 2 each day. I believe, if I remember right, you guys had Luiz Muscatine, Linmar, North Scott, and Ames, 3-1 in that tournament. You guys started with on a good roll, got 3 victories out of 4 games. How would you assess the North Scott tournament?
You know, that's kind of where the inconsistent part comes from my statement I made earlier. You know, we struggled to consistently have good at-bats at the plate, and we found ourselves in position a lot of times to be able to score more runs, but we just couldn't get the hits needed to accumulate more runs, and that kind of bit us in the L&M game. You know, credit goes to True. You know, she drove over to the right field fence for a three-run home run. Up until that point in the fifth inning, you know, they've had very few base runners, and it really wasn't generating any offense at all, and we had multiple opportunities to score. Bases loaded with one out and couldn't push one across. So, you know, that kind of bit us in the butt. And then, you know, it just kind of continued on with Linmar. You know, you're talking a 5A school that just fell out of the rankings, so they're very competitive. Huge team. And I'm not talking size-wise, but I think they had more kids in the dugout on reserve than we had our whole team. And very competitive. Again, we had opportunity to score more runs and couldn't, but we were able to hold on with the 2-1 win. And you know, when we walked out of there on Friday, we were a little frustrated because we've had opportunities to score more runs and we're just kind of coming up short. You know, Saturday we did a little bit better job with Ames out of the gate. A couple mistakes on the defensive side gave them a few more runs than they earned. You know, but that happened and we were able to get the win, and then a very competitive game against North Scott, 2-1. So to come out of there 3-1 playing 2 ranked teams, 2 5A schools, you know, you have to be happy, even though we felt that we didn't play the best ball that we can play.
Offensively, Kira Schult was 3-for-3 and 2-for-2 in 2 separate games Saturday. I don't know, for some reason that stuck out to me. I was looking for who maybe had strung some things together. It seemed like at least Saturday she hit pretty good out of the cleanup spot. But I'd like to look at your pitching here. You guys, last week we kind of left off with having, I think it's fair to say, maybe a little concern. You know, you guys have had some a lot of games and a lot of days, and you guys were staring at an 8-game week here, and you never know how kids are going to react. And you guys came away 7-1. Cameron Meyer was 4-1. Jenna Lawson 3-0 in kind of her first extent. I don't know how to explain this. Like, you know, multi-game week, is that fair to say?
Yeah, you know,
both of our, I don't know if I told you before, both of our pitchers are nursing arm problems, and Jenna's probably the worst out of the two. So Cam was kind of picking up the majority of the innings early on. It's not that Jenna has really gotten better as far as healthy, but we got to a point to where we have to start throwing her more. She's not doing any damage to it. It's just her being able to deal with the pain, which, you know, she's a tough kid. She stepped up and has been able to do that. So, you know, our pitching has been battling injuries, but we're still being effective, and they're still doing a good job. I'm confident that as the season goes on, that the kids will get healthy and get stronger. So, it was a tough week having to play eight games, but, you know, the kids battled through it on the mound and did a nice job.
For the season, both Meyer and Lawson have combined for 126 strikeouts. Cameron's eight away from 100 herself. And, you know, opposing batters are having trouble. that might be kind, I guess. Opposing batters, 166. And, you know, with softball, that's not good if you're opposing batters, looking at a stat like that.
And, you know, both pitchers are effective in their own way. You know, Cam's a power pitcher, but she does have ball movement and off speed. Throws the ball well up in the zone. And then Jenna has good ball movement and down pitches and off speed also. So, and she comes from the left side. You know, so they're unique in their own way, and they're both very effective in what they do. And, you know, so far this season, they both have done a great job of keeping teams off balance and keeping the hit total and the run total down. So, yeah, I'm very happy with how they've been doing.
As a team, you guys are doing pretty awesome, too, I would think. First in hits in the South Division, second in doubles, third in RBIs, third in batting average. What do you make of that, of those?
You know, that, in a way, it's kind of surprising, but in a way, it's kind of not. You know, as a coach, I feel like we could hit better. So when I hear that, you know, that maybe I'm expecting a little bit too much. But knowing the kids that I have and as hard as they work, it doesn't surprise me. You know, we have kids that put in extra time and they work hard and they're good ball players. So, you know, I'm happy for them. And the main thing is we just got to keep working hard and doing what we're doing. And hopefully at the end of the year, those rankings are still there. So if they are, then I think we'll have a pretty good season.
One thing I didn't say there was you guys are second in at-bats, 440 at-bats. So, you know, you guys are getting opportunities as well, and that's kind of good to see there too. You guys, let's turn to this week.
Sorry.
Nope, you're fine. What are you going to say?
Go ahead.
Are you – okay. That takes it to this week, special night tonight. You know, you guys have military honors, honoring the veterans and just military personnel. Talk about that. You know, you talked to last week a little bit about it. So, you know, you guys, this podcast may get out, but even if it does get out today, I'm not sure how many fans are going to hear it before the games tonight. So, you know, this the events tonight will have happened, so I apologize to the listeners, but that's just how it is. But still, really cool night shaping up to be down in Durant. You know, not only Wilton, probably the best opponent you could have coming into town, maybe besides the Regina, you know. So it's pretty special going on there.
Yeah, you know, we wanted to do something to recognize all the veterans that make huge sacrifices for our country. And so we thought we have baseball, softball, varsity doubleheader happen at the same time. So we're doing a military night. Veterans get in for free. They get a free meal at the concession stand, and then they'll be recognized during the game. You know, that's the least we could do. Also, you know, they do a backyard challenge between Wilton and Durant, and every time a varsity contest goes on, whoever wins earns a point towards that total at the end of the year. Whichever school has the most retains the backyard challenge trophy and all that. So there's a lot of implications tonight, plus it's a conference game. So, you know, it was a great night to do it, nice to be able to do it with Wilton. And they really had no problem stepping up and wanting to be a part of it. So it should be a lot of fun.
Exciting on the field as well. You know, Wilton comes in 9-7, 16 games under their belt. They have a few girls that can hit. You know, they have some pitching going on themselves, just like probably a lot of people are at this point. You know, kids are kids and stuff. But, you know, tonight you guys go tomorrow to Kelowna for two with Mid Prairie. How important are these four conference games to start this week?
Well, it's very important. You know, first of all, one of our goals is to be conference champions, and that means, you know, we want to get through these games with the W. Second of all, you know, you start the week back off, and then you want to build some momentum and keep right on going when we left off on Saturday afternoon. So, you know, we're going to focus one game at a time, and the first one's at 5:30, and then just kind of take that approach, and then hopefully by the end of the week, we can get through the week with a bunch of W's and in a pretty nice spot when regional pairings come out on Monday.
Coach, thanks for coming on this afternoon. I appreciate it. It's always good to catch up and see where you guys are at, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Thanks, Ryan.
Welcome back to the Coach's Corner podcast. We're catching up with Courtney Dinkman, Wilton softball coach. Coach, welcome on.
Thank you, Ryan.
You guys are 9-7 after 3 weeks, which is insane. Actually, 4 weeks. We're 4 weeks into the season, Coach.
It's flying by right now.
Sitting 9-7. I'm sorry, I was right the first time. I'm going to start all this over. Gosh, I'm sorry, man. Let's start over.
You're fine.
I have my notes in front of me, and the way I have this organized, it is not, it's all mushy. Okay. Welcome back to the Coach of Honor podcast. We're catching up with Wilton softball coach Courtney Dinkman. Coach, welcome on.
Thanks, Ryan.
3 weeks into the season, 9-7 overall. How are things going, Coach?
You know, things are going great. It's, the season's flying by. The girls are having fun, and, you know, we're just playing ball.
You guys had 5 games last week. Let's talk about some of those. Doubleheader in the South Division, doubleheader against Regina. A lot of home games. You guys went on the road to Fairfield. Got 3 more games this weekend. 2 wins this weekend, and 1 over a ranked opponent is pretty cool, too. So let's just start off the week. Actually, in general, 2 wins over ranked opponents this week. That's pretty good, too, with Regina. And then the New London, you guys started out with Regina. That was pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. The girls came. They came ready to play. They had lots of energy that first game. We got out to a big lead. They came back, but we ended up holding them off. And Callie Milder came out with a great walk-off home run to end that first game. And, you know, that was a great win for those girls, confidence booster to let them know that we can compete with all those big-name schools.
You guys seem to get one of the big dogs. You guys have gotten Regina before. Sometimes it's Cascade. So seeing this team get Regina is a little different from my perspective because you guys have a lot of younger gals. What did this do for them? Grant, you had another one after that, but I mean that you guys were ahead 10-1 at one point, 10-0, and then 10-1. And, you know, that's unheard of and awesome at the same time.
Yeah. You know, these girls, they are young, but they have lots and lots of experience. They just go out and they play ball. They don't really think about who they're playing against, and I think that's huge because sometimes you can get caught up on playing, you know, those teams that are notoriously really good in softball. And these girls, they don't let that bother them. So, I mean, that's huge for them. They just go out, they do what they need to do, and we came out with a win, so that was great.
15 hits against the Regals in that 11-10 victory. 5 multi-hit players, Courtney Drake, Chloe Wells, Callie Milder, each with 3 hits. Peyton Serrata, 2 hits, and Taylor Garvin with 2 hits. Home runs by Peyton Serrata and Callie Milder, and each of those guys had 2 RBIs. Chloe Wells had 4 RBIs. You know, Chloe got the pitching victory, 6 innings, 5 strikeouts, 4 walks. Mila Johnson got a couple innings in relief. And, yeah, you know, you withstood kind of their rally. You know, I mean, you know they're going to come back or at least kind of circle the wagons and put some runs up. And, you know, a six-run fifth, three-run sixth tied it, and then you guys went to extra innings. Eighth inning was when you got the walk-off by Callie Milder, and that, you know, can't be more excited for her. She's a senior, and that's pretty cool, too.
They said that that this is the first time we beat Regina in any girls' sports since 2015. So that was good for those seniors who have, we've played them so many times over the years that we could finally come through and beat them at our home field. So that was a great feeling for those two seniors.
There's a lot of girls on the softball team that play volleyball, and you know they met for the regional final last fall in volleyball. So yeah, it was that was kind of a sweet victory. You guys.
Absolutely.
Dropped the second game 15-5, scoring five runs over two innings. You guys trailed 7-0 and then got three in the second to trim that up to four runs behind. A big inning in the fourth kind of got the distance a little too much for you guys. Peyton Serrato took the loss, didn't record an inning. Chloe Wells and Mila Johnson pitched in relief. They got four strikeouts between them. Nine hits, three from Courtney Drake. You know, that's becoming a just pencil her in for three hits.
She's just a solid player that we love to have. You know, she's just a great leadoff, and she can put that bat on the ball, and she's just been hitting like no other lately.
What do you make of Regina? They have, you know, graduated Sarah Lehman. You know, she's been around forever, and that was their big stud pitcher. They have a couple girls they're going to this year. Katie Bracken's back. They have Emily Neubauer or Neubauer, however you say that, are their main two pitchers. And, you know, Bracken's ERA is over five, which, you know, in softball is not good. But, you know, at the same, I mean, I don't know what to make of them.
I mean, Regina's Regina, and I think they're always going to come through, you know, in those tight games. They're a quality team. They have been for years. The style of play that they play this year is a lot slower than what we are used to. I think our first game, even though it was extra innings, took almost 2 hours and 40 minutes. And then that second game, even though it was a shorter game because of run rule, it still was over 2 hours. Just their style of play is a lot slower, and so I think that's kind of how they're getting their teams. Lots and lots of substitutions and lots of just the pace of the game is a lot slower.
Are they looking for more pitches at bats then too, or I mean?
No, it's almost more like when they're on defense, it takes a lot longer. It's just, I don't know if it's the way that the pitcher or the catcher kind of just taking a long time talking amongst the team. It's just, I think it's their, they have a new coach, and I think that's the style of play that he likes to play. And so it just was a marathon night, time wise.
You guys moved on from that. You guys hosted Comanche, and you kind of caught the Indians at the wrong time, Coach. Comanche came in with a six-game win streak, and they got you to make it seven, and they might be the hottest team for softball in the conference right now.
Yeah, they're a good team. They can hit the ball. They're a very hard-hitting team, and kudos to them. And they, you know, it was a close game, but they won it outright.
Nine runs in that game. They've beat Monticello. They beat Tipton. Lost to Regina. Beat West Liberty. Split with Monticello. So, you know, we don't think of the North as having we just don't follow the North as much here at the Conservative, it seems like. And when I see something like this, I'm like, oh, I guess I need to check into Comanche now, I guess. So they do have a couple players with over 20 hits. To me, that seems a lot at this point, but maybe it's not. I don't know.
Yeah, no, they put the bat on the ball solidly every time, and I think they're going to be a good ball team for a couple years to come now.
Second straight extra inning game. Probably not how you want to draw it up, but, you know, you get into games, you have to play what the game plays out, you know, right?
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, these extra inning games, it's teaching our girls, you know, that you have to keep on pushing and not give up. And sometimes you win and sometimes you come up on that short end. And my girls have done a great job of just continuing to push and continuing to give it their all, you know, all those extra innings that we've been playing lately.
Well, even you guys needed four runs in the bottom of the seventh to force extra innings. I mean, even just that to not give up, and is that the push kind of you're talking about to an extent too? Because, you know, you have to tie it to be able to win it.
And, you know, these girls, they, like we've talked about before, they are a lot younger, and, you know, just knowing kind of what, you know, varsity softball's about and not having, you know, having to give it that extra push and that extra drive that it takes to be on that varsity level. And so, you know, we're continuing to learn each game, and, you know, hopefully we can pull it out and continue to learn from this.
In the extra innings, the pressure adds a little bit. Were you happy with how the team responded, holding Comanche for three of the four innings without a run then? To me, it seems like with each inning, it would be a little more tense.
We had girls that had to step in, and, you know, it's continuing to be a learning experience for each of these girls, and as we kind of get to the second half of the season, we'll learn from those and, you know, hopefully make a push towards the end.
Some of the names that we don't normally say that were in this game, just because I don't say every single name, but, you know, courtesy runner, you had Alexis Walker, you had Tessa Bartel be a pinch hitter, Mallory Lang was in the game, Emily Koss caught a little bit. I mean, those are some names that Wilton people know, but that I'd give a shout-out to some of those guys that, you know, don't get the two-hit games or whatnot. I mean, granted, Mallory Lang had two for two in this game with three RBIs, but I don't know. You need everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we had everyone on the bench contribute somehow in that game. And, you know, Mallory Lang, she did a great job being an eighth grader and, you know, putting her in to pinch hit and then continuing to keep her in the game. She just did a great job that night, and she snagged a few at third base, and she did what she needed to do, and she did a great job.
Three doubles of the team, Courtney Drake with four hits, Carly Schultz, Chloe Wells with two, as well as Mallory Lang, Callie Milder, and Lexi Maurer, sorry, had three hits each. So Callie's had a pretty good run behind at the plate too then.
She has that confidence. She's definitely building some confidence at the plate. You know, her being a senior, she knows that she's got to go. She's got to hit that ball and do her job, and she's doing a great job.
It takes us over to Fairfield, a two-day tournament. You guys get away for a getaway 2 days away, I should say. First opponent was Van Buren, Keosauqua Van Buren. You guys fell 6-2 on Friday. Kind of a slow game. Not a slow game, but low scoring. I mean, it was scoreless until the fourth. Van Buren scored three. You guys cut it to a one-run lead with two in the fifth. And then, it was pretty close the whole game. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. We just kind of struggled. That drive wasn't there on Friday. A long bust right down, left earlier, played that first game at noon. We just didn't have our normal pop to the bat and, you know, sharp fielding. So we just really had to work through that game. We ended up not getting that win, but I think we learned a lot about ourselves as a team and kind of what we needed to do to start turning around, because we had quite a few losses this past week, and that's something that we don't take easily as a team, and we know that we can do better.
I was going to say, you know, having three straight losses after that, did you have kind of a team meeting at that point and said, hey, you know, there's no excuse? You have to kind of sift out what the problem is, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, softball is a game of inches, and we know that we can do great things if we try hard and we kind of zone in on some of those struggle areas that we're having. And we really had our seniors and upperclassmen kind of take the younger girls under their belt and have them kind of talk about what we needed to do, and then that transferred over to Saturday, and we actually played really well yesterday.
You guys played two games on Saturday with those coming with New London and Pekin, both Southeast Iowa Super Conference teams. You guys had two close games, so it's always, like we said earlier, you know, having a close game and then, you know, a neutral field. And, you know, maybe mom and dad can't get there because it's Saturday and, you know, brother's playing across the state or something. And, I mean, there's all kinds of distractions. And to be able to I like that two-day tournament where you can kind of just circle the wagons yourself and kind of just be a team, be a buddy, be a I just feel like you guys have always, the program's always tried to do that. And you guys take advantage of that no matter how many wins you guys collect at Fairfield.
Absolutely. You know, that's just a great tournament because we go down there, we see teams that we normally don't get to see it any other time throughout the season. And, it's a good time to get away, to learn about ourselves as a team, and then to kind of use that momentum to build as the next couple weeks come along.
First game was against New London. New London just fell out of the rankings. However, they were ranked 15th. They beat Durant. You guys beat them 5-3. You guys had three first-inning runs and kind of set the tone for that win.
Yeah, and, we hit the ball. Chloe Wells did a great job pitching. She came in. She did what she needed to do. Our defense played behind her, and we ended up with that win, so that was great.
10 hits. Annabelle Grings was 3-for-3, had two doubles and RBI to lead you guys. Carly Schultz had two hits and RBI. One thing in that game, there's no Courtney Drake.
Yeah, Courtney Drake, she was away for the weekend on Friday at a basketball camp. She sat out her one game, and then she came and she joined us for that Peking game.
7 Beavers got hits. It's kind of cool to see what you did with the lineup here in this game. Selfishly and crazy, I guess, I've always wondered what Carly Schultz would be as a leadoff hitter, and this game kind of shows. So, sorry. I feel like you're blessed with many people that could be a leadoff hitter, and it's kind of interesting to see how you put the kids out there sometimes.
Absolutely. You know, Carly Schultz, she does what she needs to do. She has worked really hard in the offseason. She can be a slapper, but she can also hit for power. And so I think that is a great option to have. Courtney Drake, she's more of a power hitter. She could lay down the bunt if she wanted. Her on-base percentage is super high, so it's just kind of nice to have her be leadoff and then Carly Schultz come behind her and have so many weapons to try to get her to advance to that next base. I am pretty lucky to have two lefties at the top of the batting order that can do great things.
It was a warm day, right, Coach?
Yeah, it was.
Was that, I mean, we've had warm days here so far, but call me nuts, but I think once you're like south of Washington, Iowa, it's like a different hot, but I might be crazy.
Oh, it absolutely is. But, you know, these girls, they have learned over the years playing for me that they never complain about the heat. They go out, they do what they need to do. They are hard workers. I will never take that away from them. They push hard every second that they are on that field, so they do a great job.
Chloe Wells got the win, 7 innings pitched, 2 strikeouts, 4 walks. I gave you guys 8 wins. You guys played Pekin next, and, you know, Pekin's had a pretty good program. You know, they usually, it's going to sound weird, but I think they usually have pretty good catching and decent pitching.
They were a solid team also. They hit the ball well. We just happened to play great defense. The balls were going right to us. They are a very solid program.
This game also, you guys scored first, 2 in the first, 1 in the second. You were up by, you were up 3-0 after 2. That held to the fifth. You scored another run. You're up 3-0. And they tied it. You guys, you were up 4-0. And then they got within 4-3. But you guys held on to get the win. Mila Johnson got the win after 6 innings, 3 strikeouts, and no walks.
Yeah, Mila did a nice job pitching that game. She came in, she moved the ball around, she let her defense do their thing, and we came away with the win.
Beacon's kind of been an interesting team. They have some players that they have a girl, Zoe Wright, 30 hits. I don't know where she batted in the order, but 30 hits, 14 stolen bases. Was that someone that, if I say, what do you think of her, you can remember her? Or
she was their leadoff batter, and she did what she had to do every time she was up to the plate. She was a definite threat. You could tell that team relied on her to kind of get the momentum going.
9 hits for the Beavers, 2 from Courtney Drake, 2 from Carly Schultz, 2 from Taylor Garvin, 2 from Emily Koss. Emily Koss got some work behind the plate this weekend, so that's also a plus. You know, she you never have too many catchers.
Yeah, absolutely. Emmy had to really step up the plate. Lexi had to leave on Saturday for a family emergency, so Emmy came in. She did what she needed to do. Our pitchers, you know, felt confident with her back behind that plate. She did a nice job.
Coach, now what? You have seven games this week. This is kind of a typical summer week, right? I mean, not that they haven't been before, but this, more than anything, the only thing that you guys don't have this week is a Saturday tournament waiting for you at the end of the week.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to let the girls have an off weekend to kind of recuperate and, you know, relax and kind of take care of their injuries that they have.
Run through the schedule here. You're on the road the first 2 days, doubleheaders with at Durant, at West Branch. Bellevue comes to town, and that's going to be an interesting game because Bellevue, you guys had a great game last year up there. And then you host Columbus Junction for a doubleheader at the end. So three sets of doubleheaders, one cross-division game. And I can make a case that all these are pretty compelling games.
Absolutely. You know, it's going to be a tough week, but I think that our girls just keep. Monday's definitely going to be, it's always just an emotional game for the girls, it being Durant. Hopefully we can use that momentum to help carry us throughout the rest of the week.
Coach, thanks for your time this afternoon. Look forward to seeing how this week goes. Good luck this week. Go get them.
All right, thanks, Ryan. It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
Welcome back to the Coach's Corner Podcast. We're catching up with Tipton softball coach Brooklyn Caranda. Tigers have four games under their belt from this past week. Coach, welcome on the show.
Hi.
We had three home games and a road game. Conference doubleheader with Mid Prairie, Comanche on Tuesday, and we traveled to Monticello Thursday. How are things going?
Well, we got a second win with Mid Prairie this past week, and that's a good thing. Other than that, everything else went pretty well. We, our bats need to come back around like they were in the first couple weeks of our season, but...
You guys, Mid Prairie came to town on Monday. You guys won the first one 9-7, and it's been a while since Tipton's beaten Mid Prairie, and it's also the first, I believe that's the first conference win in the River Valley Conference that we've had. They've been kind of scarce the last few years, but it was a good way to get it, you know, 9-7, and you guys had to score three in the bottom of the sixth, so it wasn't easy by any stretch. It was kind of an up and down game too. You know, you guys, Mid Prairie scored first. You guys scored three in the first, so you guys had a 2-run lead. Added to that in the second with 2 runs to go up 5-1, and then Mid Prairie kind of chipped away a little bit. You guys were up 6-2. A 4-run sixth made it interesting, and you guys had to get that 3-run inning in the sixth.
Yeah, it was definitely nice to see our girls keep fighting. In the past, we haven't had that extra fight at the end, and so it's kind of nice to see that once in a while. I'd like to see it more.
Coach, you guys have had I've noticed a different we talked about this last week about how, and maybe it kind of speaks to that fighting for it sort of attitude. It seems like this kind of a culmination of what I've seen so far out of the team kind of in this game. You know, it's like, you guys fought for it, and, you know, their good enough wasn't good enough. A 7-6 score where you guys were trailing wasn't good enough for them at that moment in that game.
Right. I feel like this year our girls are having that little bit of spark under them that they want to win, they want to be there, and they want to do well. And you might not see it in our outcomes of most of our games, but in that Mid Prairie game that you actually did see our fight, and we saw the outcome we wanted, so...
Two multi-hit players for Tipton that night. Lakin Hermiston, three for four, a triple away from the cycle, Coach. That was quite the night for Lakin. She had a double, a home run, two RBIs, one run scored, and got on base via walk on the other time. So she was on base all four times.
Yep, she had a really nice night.
Allie Ryan, 2 for 4. RBI, 2 RBIs as well for Ashley Minty and Brianna Simmonmaker. Regular hits for Cameron Chapman, and I think I touched on that. Sorry, Haley Stewart, Ashley Minty, Brianna Simmonmaker, Morgan Wendell, 7 innings pitched, 5 strikeouts, and all important, no walks for Morgan in this game.
Yeah, that's a huge thing for our team with walks, because this year we've been doing a lot better when we have somebody on base defensively. We do have been doing a lot better, but it is a lot nicer when we don't have any walks from our pitcher. So
we talk sometimes about, you know, the situations that we're in, you know, and how I think at the very beginning, you know, we were, it's like, hurry up and let's get games in because we're kind of tired of practicing against ourselves. And, you know, it's just sometimes baby steps. You know, you guys were in a game where I'm looking here and, you know, you knocked out their pitcher. Not literally, but, you know, from the game. They had to bring a relief pitcher in. And the times that we've done that haven't been a ton. And, you know, I would think that would give your team a boost too, besides how the game was going in general.
Yeah, that does give us a little bit more of a leeway and our confidence too, just having that happen. Because like you said, we don't have that happen a lot. And seeing that we can hit the ball and showing that other teams that we can hit the ball helps us a lot.
Game 2 did not go your guys' way. Mid Prairie took that, so you guys earned a split that night. 2 wins in 4 games, 2-2 in a 4-game stretch. Started the week before, I should say, with a Midland win. Definitely, so far, I mean, you guys have a lot of softball left. You guys played pretty well. You know, I mean, this has been kind of the highlight so far.
Yeah, we have actually had a pretty good season. The outcomes might not be there, but we just need to get over that hump now, I think. And the last couple games we've had, our hitting hasn't been there, but we have been able to have a couple practices. So I hope that helps a little bit, just to have a little bit mid-season practice.
Yeah, that's – talk about that. I mean, you played in high school and college, and, you know, everybody associated – if you have a kid on a team or whatnot, you know practice time is scarce and once the season starts. And it's almost like it shouldn't be sometimes, you know. But I understand schedules and stuff, but it makes me wonder, like, if the schedule – people who do the schedule, it's like, can't you just schedule an off day for a kid just once, you know?
Yes, then when you
factor weather in there too, and there's some teams that – and then you factor in how many games you can play, and that's another thing, you know. I mean, do you load up on games and really go all out and see what happens, or I don't know. It's just sometimes practice time is scarce.
Yes, it definitely is, and it also is something that is pretty crucial to our game also. So
that takes you guys through Monday. You guys took a swing through the River Valley Conference North. Comanche on Tuesday, Monticello on Thursday. Comanche was here. The Indians are an interesting team. I did not expect them to have the run they're on. They beat us 6-0. The game was part of a 7-game win streak for them. They started out 2-4, and then they've reeled off their last 7. So, and they've been scoring a lot of runs in doing so. They beat Monticello the night before us 15-0. And then, so I don't know what to make of Comanche, Coach.
Yeah, they're a tough team. I thought that we could we would be right there with them just because we have been fighting so much. But like I said, the last couple games, our hitting has not been there. Our defensively, we were pretty solid. It's just our offense that needs to get back coming to us. So,
not one big inning, really. I mean, they had a couple innings that they scored 2 runs. It was 3-0 after 3, and then it was 3-0 after 5. So, I mean, in a way, I kind of – this is just me, but when I see games like this, to me it's kind of systematically taking you down. Is that kind of how this game – kind of felt and how things
And like you said, the big innings, we haven't really had the first, our first home opener against Wilton Woods, they had a couple big innings. But other than that, from our past seasons, the last couple of years, we have not had the big innings against us like we've had. So,
which fuels into just the attitude, I guess. And, you know, small things. I just keep coming back to that, you know. And, you know, when you're building something, it takes some of those small steps that you just keep building. And it's like if you're running, you know, it's like pick them up, put them down, just keep going, you know. And I mean, it kind of applies to softball, you know. It's like you got to keep going because you're probably going to play the next day, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, we are building this program back up from what it used to be. So it is those little things that we have to keep praising and keep accomplishing to get to where we want to be.
Four hits in the game. Allie Ryan had two of them. Ashley Minty, Brianna Simmaker each had hits. Those are your 3, 4, and 5 hitters. They combined for 4 of 9. That's not too bad through your heart of your order, Coach.
Yeah, they are doing pretty well. We haven't done much to our lineup. During the Monticello game, we did change it up a little bit and put a DP flex in. But
Morgan pitched 7 innings, 1 walk, no strikeouts. You know, on paper, it looks like kind of bend but didn't break sort of thing. She gave up 6 runs, but only 4 were earned. Kind of could have been worse, but she kind of got through some things too.
Yep, exactly.
Monticello traditionally has been a pretty good team. And, you know, going to Monticello is, Monticello's field is interesting. You know, we don't see a bunch of high fences like all the way around the field.
That is one thing that our girls saw right away. They're like, their field looks shorter than ours and all this. And I said, I think it's because the infield, the fences are different. The infield's a little longer than ours. And so, yeah, it's a little different field than what we're used to playing on.
They kind of a different game. They scored in nearly every inning. And, you know, they put up multiple runs in 3 of the 4 innings they scored in. We did send a parting message to them, I guess. We pushed 2 runs across in the 7th. And, you know, if the outcome's decided by that point, it's never a bad thing to leave a parting shot sort of thing.
Yeah, and like you said, we didn't score, and we hardly had any base runners until the last couple innings. So we're never going to be able to win a game if we can't hit and get on base. So
you guys did have 6 hits, however. You know, Ashley Minty, Brianna Simmaker, multi-hit games, 2 of 3. 2, 4, 3. 2 hits and 3 at-bats. That's a better way for each of those girls. Haley Stewart had a hit. Morgan Wendell had a hit. She drove in both runs. Haley had a stolen base. Brittany Ford drew 2 walks. And I don't know. There were some positives in that game. I mean, the margin between the two teams was not obviously what you wanted. But, I mean, are those some of the things, having 5 different girls get on base, that you can take from this game? Or...
Yeah, definitely. There are a lot of positives that are coming out of a lot of our games this year. Thursday's game was a little different for us defensively. We haven't had that many. We didn't have a lot of errors, but I think we had 4 errors, and that's been more than we've had the last couple weeks. So I think just getting that back together and what we want it to be like and getting our hitting to come around more than what we had. So.
Morgan took the loss, 6 innings pitched. She did give up 9 runs. However, only 3 were earned. A good strikeout-to-walk ratio, 4 strikeouts, 1 walk for Morgan. You guys were able to take your breath and had a couple days off. So, you know, you didn't play on Friday, you didn't play Saturday, and you guys have tonight off here on Monday. Go to Regina. Go to Cascade, have West Branch for a doubleheader on Friday. Go to Bellevue Saturday for 3 games. Now, this is more like a summer softball week.
Yes, it is. It is nice to have a couple days break so we can get some practice in, but once we're in season, it's hard to find those breaks, and this week is definitely one of those weeks where we need to practice when we can.
Coach, you guys have 9 games as we head to week 4. Granted, you guys have had your own tournament rained out. You've had some other things like that. So, you know what you have, but in a way you haven't seen them in a week like this. Is that kind of exciting as you look ahead to this week? Because you have 2 sets of South doubleheaders. You have a crossover game, and then you have a tournament. You'll be able to see how things kind of have advanced in different situations too, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I like to have games back-to-back because if one goes bad, we always know that there's the next day to kind of revamp what we need to revamp or change what we need to and get back at it. So,
following week, you guys will have 3 home games. So Tiger fans that can't get to Regina or Cascade or Bellevue, they'll come out Friday and then come back next week because the heart of the middle of the week, you guys play 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So, and Thursday, I know everyone will be excited when North Cedar comes to town. We'll talk about that, getting ready for that next week. But it's never too early to look ahead to see when North Cedar's on the schedule.
Exactly. We are always excited to play them.
Brooklyn, thanks for coming on this afternoon. I appreciate it. We'll catch up next week to talk about the busy week we have ahead of us. Good luck. Go get them.
All right. Thank you. Have a good week.
Thank you for listening to the Coach's Corner podcast. If you have any questions or comments about this program, please email me at conservativesports@gmail.com. Also, follow along with sports coverage in the Tipton Conservative newspaper this fall for North Cedar, Tipton, Wilton, and Durant athletics. You can follow along on Twitter with the handle @ConSports. That's my Twitter account. I also have a Facebook page called Tipton Conservative Sports, or you can find me on Instagram as well. Thanks for listening. Until next time, we'll see you at the game.